We have participants from all over the world, so we're really pleased to have you joining us on articulating new solutions and innovations to drive youth employment post-COVID-19. The first in a series focusing on youth solutions and has been built based on interest from our members, in particular the International Labour Organization, the International Organization of Employers, the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD, Business at OECD, Nestle and the Adecco Group. And the intent of our partners is to work towards solutions to ensure continuity of work-based learning opportunities, in particular for the hardest hit group in this pandemic, young people. Organized in two parts. Part one will be a context setting discussion with the OECD, the ILO, and a very esteemed youth representative. I now have the pleasure to introduce you to the GAN chair, Mr. Laurent Frex. Laurent is also the CEO of Nestlé Zone Americas, and we're very privileged to have him moderate today's discussion. Laurent, over to you.
Thank you very much, Nazrin. It's a pleasure to be with you all today, hosting this webinar as GAN Global Chair to discuss new solutions and innovation to draw youth employment post-COVID-19. I was reflecting while speaking that we are in the midst of the COVID, so we need solution during COVID-19 times, not only post-COVID-19, of course. But that's kind of obvious. And as far as I'm concerned, there is nothing more important on my personal agenda than this very, very topic. And I guess that this is the same with most of you. And I feel privileged that we can have such a representative and competent panel lined up for the discussion today. We have brought together thought leaders from some of the largest organizations representing the private sector, the public sector, and youth organizations with a common passion and interest for work-based learning solutions and youth employment. The COVID-19 pandemic has already impacted more than 13 million people around the world, and numbers continue to increase on a daily basis. But this is just the sanitary part of the crisis. The pandemic has also triggered, and very quickly, it's impressive to see how quickly has been the impact, a deep economic with the world in recession, which we have not seen often in recent history, a deep economic and social crisis, and probably the most severe which we have witnessed, and our grandparents as well, in modern times. The most vulnerable populations, as always, are the most impacted by the consequences of this multi-dimensional crisis, and in particular, young people. Many will not be able to finish their studies, and for most of them, it will be a struggle to enter the labor market or to re-enter the labor market for those who already have lost their job. And I have a strong belief, and I think it's kind of obvious, that communities and societies cannot be sustainable and thrive and be peaceful if they fail to offer a future for young generations, especially in terms of economic opportunities. And there is no better way to integrate youth to the community than through education and employment, education for employment. And there is no better way to achieve economic integration. Half of the world population today is under the age of 30, so this is a massive number, close to 4 billion people. And clearly, we cannot afford and we cannot accept to have a lost generation, and this is what is at stake. What we are going through is not only a health crisis affecting each and every country In the world, it is also a major employment, education, and training crisis on top of the economic, financial, and social crisis I was referring to. The COVID-19 effect is being felt very strongly on the labor market, and we have the best experts, of course, to comment around that very, very topic and to discuss about solutions. And the impact has been visible in particular in areas. The number of available job vacancies has been down massively. The quality of work, reduced significantly. And we got impacted a significant proportion of women and youth in this context. So the discussion today will focus on how can we bring to life new solutions in the face of this rising youth unemployment, but if we put it in a broader context, in the face of this rising wave of unemployment. To date, we have seen a number of solutions targeting individual workers, the companies that employ them, which is good, and of course we need them, and targeting as well sectors that need support, as well as national, regional, and global government policy solutions. So we need those, and it's great to see that there is more focus on that very point. But as the governments, international organizations, and the private sector develop responses to address the consequences from the pandemic, GAN Global, in that context, I think is uniquely placed to create solid bridges. This is a time for bridges and not for building up walls, to build solid bridges to enable a constructive dialogue and engagement between those important institutions and youth. And we wanted, of course, to have youth, young people, as part of the dialogue today. I'd like to thank all the participants for dedicating their time, of course, passion, energy, and competencies, and especially the young voices that are contributing to this webinar today. It is our aim that today's discussions will be a starting point. This is not an end. This is a starting point to a dialogue that has to go on, making sure that this is not only a dialogue, but that concrete solutions are implemented on the ground and can impact positively the young generation and help fight this unemployment tsunami. Apprenticeships improve the employability of young people and prepare them for the jobs that companies need. This is why apprenticeships and work-based learning solutions are so critical and so important as part of the solution. And it is up to all of us to come up with constructive solutions to continue to provide high quality work-based learning opportunities for young people. I'm talking in particular to the private sector, as we have to be part of the solutions. We are the main employers. We are contributing to work-based learning solutions. We have to be determined to make an impact in the current crisis. Now, let's start with the first panel discussion. We have such a nice lineup. And let me introduce the panel moderator. We couldn't have a better panel moderator with Roberto Suarez Santos, the Secretary General of the International Organization of Employers. He's been a founding member of the GAN and is a very strong advocate and participant and supporter to the Global Apprenticeship Network. And Roberto will moderate this first panel discussion this afternoon. Roberto, floor is yours.
Thank you so much, Laurent. Again, I want to thank publicly your commitment to the GAN. I mean, it's really great to have such a strong leadership with us in these difficult times. The GAN business case is more important than ever, and having you pushing in the same direction, and I'm telling it like as not the Secretary General of IOE, but as you said, one of the founders organizations of the GAN, and a secretariat of the GAN itself, I want to thank you also for the, all the passion that you are putting to this discussion.
Thank you.
If I just can compliment you before we go to the panelists, for some months, we have been speaking with a kind of negative language, because we have to. I mean, you talked about unemployment tsunami, and I like this wording because it's really what is going to happen in the coming months. When we have some agreements with the trade unions, with the International Trade Union Organization, we talked about devastating consequences, social and economic devastating consequences, apart from a health in strong challenges. We want, at least from IOE, but I know that all the partners of GAN, we want to move on a much more positive approach, looking at solutions and looking at innovation. And that's why the title of this panel, which has to do with innovation and solution, is very, very pertinent. And if you look at innovation and solutions, what we sometimes forget is that at the same time that the pandemic is coming, we have the speeding up process of the transformations of the world. All of a sudden, it's not that we have been locked down, it's not that our companies have been locked down, it's that we all have become somehow digital. What we were foreseeing last year as a trend, as a common trend, no, is now a reality. The way we work, where we work, working time is deeply being transformed. And that has to do, oh, my camera. I've been said that my camera is not well placed, perhaps. Oh, I have to switch on the camera, sorry. All of a sudden, the transformation of the world of work that we were foreseeing are right now with us. And that's also linked to the youth reality and the skills component. Precisely the GAN, the lifelong learning mindset, the way we have to grasp the need to update ourselves is much more pertinent than ever. Now in the panel, now we have two big partners of the GAN. One is the OECD. OECD is well known because of its skills approach, its strong skills approach. And we have the honor to be joined by the Deputy Director General of OECD. And also, I want also to thank especially not just the OECD themselves and the team of the OECD themselves, but also our partners in BIAC, and we have also Russell with us because of the support also that they have had also in this approach. So we have Mr. Lutger, and I hope that I pronounce it properly, Skudnes, who is the Deputy Secretary General of the organization of the OECD. And he will be speaking on behalf of Mr. Buria. Please give us some insight on precisely solutions, innovation, the way forward from a youth perspective, from a skills perspective, so that GAN, together with us, can identify actions for the coming days, I would say. The floor is yours.
Do you hear me? Yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, yes.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Roberto. Dear colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, the COVID pandemic has driven the world into a public health emergency. We've heard millions of people have been affected, hundreds of thousands have died already, and an unprecedented number of firms and jobs are on the line or have already disappeared. So the combination of fear of infection, of containment measures, and great uncertainty has produced a sharp contraction in economic activity, with a deep and widespread shock to the labor market. At the OECD, we estimate that the level of GDP OECD-wide in the second quarter of 2020 was 15% lower than in the fourth quarter of 2019. And the unemployment rate, which stood at 8.4% in May, shows a sharp rise from February, where it was only 5.2%. So these are quite drastic numbers. Even if we avoid a second wave of infections, our latest economic outlook projects that the average unemployment rate will reach 9.4% at the end of the year before declining gradually to 7.7% but still significantly above the pre-crisis level. And if there is a second major wave of infections later this year, the situation will be even worse. Unemployment could increase to over 12% by the end of the year and still be almost 9% at the end of 21. So to avert a deepening job crisis, the OECD calls for a comprehensive response. And we have outlined this need in the organization's policy considerations paper, which was drafted in close consultation with our organization's member. The various elements of this comprehensive response are outlined in there. And our collective response should rely first on public health measures, of course, to keep the virus in check. But this should happen in combination with macroeconomic and structural sectoral policies to restore confidence and to support the many people and companies still in need. You know, this is still especially important for small and medium-sized enterprises, which are incurring heavy losses from the crisis and which account for 75% of employment in the most affected sectors. So the COVID-19 crisis has exposed weaknesses in our economies and societies that will hold the recovery and people back unless they are addressed. And we need to follow a path towards a more inclusive, resilient, and sustainable future. Now, what's behind these words? I mean, we always repeat slogans, but there's very concrete action that is needed behind these. First, COVID-19 affects all of us, and this is true. But the largest burden falls heavily on the already disadvantaged groups. Low-income earners, women, ethnic minorities, migrants, children and youth, and those living with disability and chronic health conditions. So our way forward needs to be inclusive and take particular care to benefit these disadvantaged groups. Second, we need to strengthen the resilience of our societies and economies. And I can only briefly touch on this, but critical infrastructure and services, and notably health systems, we need to be stronger to enhance preparedness for future crises. Building resilience also calls for facilitating the strengthening and, where needed, restructuring of firms. We need to provide support to viable firms and to job seekers in the transition to new jobs. We should not create zombie firms and zombie jobs. And third, we need to set our economies on a transformational path towards sustainable development. That includes many dimensions, which you all know. The unprecedented resources committed to the recovery must contribute to attain this objective. Public and private investment should allow a job-rich recovery that fosters inclusive and green growth. So the three dimensions are also closely intertwined. Young people will play a critical role in this path towards building more inclusive, resilient, and sustainable economies and societies. Yet just after the great financial crisis effects had been absorbed, young people are at risk of being left behind again, while they will also need to shoulder a significant share of the burden that this crisis leaves behind, including a lot more debt. So the young people are particularly affected, as one can see, for instance, in the youth unemployment rate, which surged to 17.6% in May from 11.2% in February. At the same time, school closures have raised the risk of school dropouts, of temporary contracts not being renewed, of internships and apprenticeships are being cancelled. So while this already creates a pretty challenging environment, new graduates looking for their first job do that at a time when there's great uncertainty in the labor market. To prevent the crisis from leaving long-lasting scars on young people's careers, and with that on our economies, countries need to act quickly and help young people maintain their links with the labor market and with the education system, and support the transition from school to work. Vocational education, and training systems need to be strengthened to help graduates access high-quality jobs. And companies can play a role by hiring new graduates, offering apprenticeships, internships, or work-related training. Why is this obvious? Young people today represent the foundations of our future societies and economies. It's their education and their skills, their training, their experience that will determine our prosperity, our ability to have decent living standards, to master climate change, and to pay for high debt and population aging. Their loss of opportunities will be a big loss for all of us. The only way we can build more resilient, inclusive, and sustainable societies is by supporting young people. At the OECD, we will continue to work with governments, social partners, employers, and non-governmental organizations to support all these efforts to ensure that no young person is left behind. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think there are many points that you have raised which are good drivers. I would like also to make the reference to the viable firms and to the viable jobs, which is quite an interesting approach. No zombie firms, no zombie jobs. That's something we can deepen further. I also want now to give the floor to Alet Van Leer. Alet Van Leer is very known for the IOE. She's dealing with a specific unit in ILO who is tremendously important for the recovery, because if what we are witnessing now is a economic and social crisis which is very linked to a specific sector, isn't it? And so the faster we can strengthen the recovery so for some key sector, the better we'll be positioned ourselves to preserve jobs and to assure the sustainability of jobs and enterprise. So Alet, thank you again for joining. Thank you for the support of also of ILO. The floor is yours. Hello?
I'm sorry, I was looking for the right button. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Good afternoon, Roberto. Thank you so much for your introduction. Also, good afternoon, Laurent Freeks and panelists. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the ILO, I would like to thank you for joining us in this webinar on youth employment, crucially important topic nowadays, as we have heard from previous speakers. Most countries are still looking for solutions to address one of the worst global crises since World War II. While the disastrous consequences caused by the COVID-19 pandemic are felt by all segments of societies and all sectors across the world, the crisis is hitting young people faster and harder. Young people were already facing challenges in the labor market before the pandemic. The current crisis has further exacerbated the vulnerabilities of youth. They are now facing multiple shocks in terms of employment and income losses, disruption to their education and training, and overall greater difficulties in finding a job. Recent survey findings show that over 1 in 6 young people, really 1 in 6 young people, have stopped working since the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. 73% of youth have been affected by the closure of schools, universities, and training centers. And about 84% of apprentices and interns have experienced an interruption in their training. It is also a matter of concern that the provision of new apprenticeships and internships is likely to be negatively impacted even after lifting of lockdown measures. While the closure of schools and training institutes is leading to learning loss, increased dropouts, and higher inequality, the economic shock will exacerbate the damage by depressing skills demand and supply. In the long run, interruption to learning and financial losses would be detrimental to human capital accumulation, development prospects, and welfare. Action is to be taken now, without delay, to support youth through the COVID-19 pandemic and beyond, and to avoid the emergence of a lockdown generation. To prevent long-lasting damage to young people, the ILO calls for comprehensive, inclusive and forward-looking policy responses. Interventions targeting young people should be introduced within comprehensive, inclusive and forward-looking employment policy frameworks. This should include the effective implementation of employment and skills guarantees and linkages to broader stimulus and recovery packages. These measures should take into account growing needs in sectors that will create future crisis resiliency, such as health, public services, and ITC. And at the same time, we need to address the needs of businesses and young workers in sectors facing severe challenges, such as tourism, culture, the automotive sector, and certain areas of manufacturing. We also need long-term and innovative measures to improve the effectiveness of skills, apprenticeship, and lifelong learning systems. It is through developing people's capabilities and supporting people through different transitions that they can become more adaptable and resilient to the changing world of work and to future crises. In particular, the massive shift to digital learning should not be seen as a short-term solution in response to the pandemic, but the beginning of a long-term positive change towards building greater resilience in skills and lifelong learning systems. Finally, as ILO Director General Guy Ryder stated, the new normal, if there is to be one in the world of work, has to be a better normal. The ILO's agenda for decent work and social justice has become even more relevant. It should be placed center stage of policymaking in addressing the socioeconomic impact of the pandemic. Throughout its long 100-year history, the ILO has been committed to addressing the employment and skills development challenges facing youth worldwide. Through the UN Global Initiative on Decent Jobs for Youth, the ILO works with over 70 partners across the globe to scale up concrete action to promote youth employment. Furthermore, to support skills and employment of youth, the ILO is also giving increased emphasis to strengthening work-based learning. The ILO is in the process of developing a new international labor standard for apprenticeships. We have recently launched a toolkit for quality apprenticeships, and this is volume 2, and a massive open online course that is being attended by participants from about 125 countries. Today's webinar provides a platform for different stakeholders, such as policymakers, business enterprises, and development partners to share lessons learned and good practices accumulated so far. I hope and actually trust that you will be able to take away some practical suggestions for innovative solutions for supporting and engaging youth in the battle against the COVID-19 pandemic. I thank you for your attention.
Thank you so much, Alette. And you know also that the qualitative apprenticeship tool is being also used by GAND, also as a way also to promote and also to provide guidance on the apprenticeships at different levels. I also want now to give the floor to Mrs. Sidra Khan. I don't know whether I pronounced it correctly, who I would say from on one side has the head and the hat of a researcher, and because he's working for the Punjab Board of Investment and Trade, but also she has also the youth component that we need in this exchange and these discussions, which is critically important. Sometimes we do not understand how different is the approach that new generations have regarding skills. And precisely, I'll let you refer to the new era of digital, not as a short term, but at the middle long term. Accessible upgrading of skills is critically important, and the way young people look at that can be different. So, Sidra, the floor is yours.
Were the participants all very distinguished? Panelists, assalamu alaikum, hello, and very good evening. Can you hear me properly?
Yes, very well.
Okay, so my name is Sidra Khan. I had been working for an organization, a Chamber of Commerce and Industry, previously, and now I am working with the government of Punjab, which is a province of Pakistan. I am working with the Investment Promotion Agency of the country. So I had been engaged with the employers, organizations, and now I'm working with the government side. So I have experience and the idea of what approaches the both stakeholders are following. So without wasting any time, I'm just going to start my presentation. Is it visible, I think?
Yes, yes, it is.
Okay, so at this point of time, we are standing at a stage where a few countries have somehow gotten the control over the spread of the horrific pandemic, while others are still struggling with its spread and with the economic impact that this pandemic has created. The one common factor, the one characteristic that all countries, regardless of the stage they are at on, are facing is the unemployment rate. The unemployment is these days, we are having facts and figures from various reporting organizations, various governments and international organizations. They are now skyrocketing. Just to give you a glimpse of the facts and figures that you all are well aware of, but just to refresh your memory, at this point, approximately more than 190 million people have been unemployed right now at the moment, out of which 70 million, more than 70 million, I must say, is youth. The recent ILO monitor discovered that the loss of the global working hours have drastically dropped by 14% in just the second quarter of 2020, which has the full-time jobs and the unemployment and full-time jobs lost are calculated at 400 million, which is a very alarming number. This pandemic has disrupted the plans for youth for education and training. Approximately more than 1 billion children and young people are out of school at the moment. The pandemic has also delayed the transition of youth into the labor market. Millions of young people are waiting to enter the labor market. The pandemic has left a drastic, very drastic impact on women workforce. The most affected sectors, which are accommodation, sales, food, and manufacturing, 40% of total women workforce has been working in these sectors, and these sectors are the most affected sector by the pandemic. Therefore, it is believed that the women unemployment rate in women workforce is much higher than in men. There is also a very severe fear deep inside our hearts that the decade-long struggle over the women right at workplace, the equal women right at workplace, might face a diversion because of this pandemic. And this is also very discouraging for the women workforce. The quality of jobs due to pandemic has also badly affected. The region which is badly affected by this pandemic, we all know, is the countries in America. 18.3% working hour losses these countries have been faced. Other countries of the region of the world are also dangling between 12 to 14% working hour losses. If we see the trickle down effect of the unemployment, which you can see that the unemployment rate has decreased the aggregate wages, which in turn decreased purchasing power, and aggregate demand. And it is believed that in 2021, the global GDP would face a contraction of 6%, which is a huge number. So this low economic activity is going to affect and has already affected the developing, emerging, and less developed countries of the world. And because the unemployment in youth is far, far higher than the adult workforce, so these countries are affected more. Why? Because these countries have large proportions of youth population. According to World Bank's latest report, approximately 30 to 50% of their total population is aging between 15 to 24 years old. So that would be a huge number that are going to be affected. What is our target? What we need to do? We need to create 600 million jobs in 15 years. This is quoted by many organizations. I'm just going to refer to UN's latest report. This is a huge target, and creating employment, creating job opportunities is not a job, is not a project that you can just initiate overnight and create millions of jobs. It's a very slow project. But what we need to do is to make sure that this project should be steady and stable. Who will be going to implement, who will be going to achieve this target? These are the key players. We all know multilateral organization, developed countries, large business corporation and governments. They are the stakeholders which are going to implement all the policies and to achieve that target of 600 million jobs. How? Now we need to devise a very comprehensive strategic intervention from all sides that can ensure that our communities are going to rebuild their systems. First of all, I would say the first and foremost step should be fast track regulatory reform. Without the reforms in the countries, I'm talking about especially developing and less developed countries, if they are not going to bring reforms in their processes and practices according to the best practices of the world, no policy is going to be implemented in its true letter and spirit. So we have to make sure that the foundation of the systems, of the processes, are so strong that all of the policies, whether they are social policy or economic policy, are going to be implemented in its true terms. So I would say the regulatory gluten should be more and more implemented. Already many countries like Vietnam, Kenya, and Croatia, they have already decreased and made a very significant progress in terms of reduction in their cost of doing business, and they have transformed actually their economies and make favorable environment for the businesses and for their labor market as well. World Bank and USAID and many other international organizations, they are already working in providing technical support and supervisory support to bring reforms in their economy. So I must say that they should increase their support. Secondly, we are all talk about public and private sectors. Now is the time that governments and international organizations should start those projects. And those projects should be based on comparative advantages of each country. They should be large scale projects so that they can stimulate many immense opportunities for the young people. And these are the projects which are going to expedite economic activity in the country and then in the world. Thirdly, I would say that micro, small, mid-sized enterprises, now in this pandemic, we have realized that their role is very crucial. Before the pandemic hit, these small SMEs have been very reluctant towards the adoption of technology and digitalization. We learned that many companies have transformed their systems of trading overnight and digitalize their all of their sales. So this is the time that these MSMEs should adopt e-commerce, and government and multilateral organization should help to train them how to their government should also help to easy access and finance and also market. The pandemic has exposed that there is a huge gap between industry and university, industry and academia. There were skills which were required at this moment, but our skilled labor force even don't have those skills. So the governments should make layers industry and academia. Large business corporations should also come forward and inform their counterparts, the academia, what skills and what capabilities they are going to have in future, so that academia should develop their syllabus and their training programs accordingly. Government, academia, and large corporations should also establish training centers and vocational training centers and incubation centers to promote the culture of entrepreneurship. And distance learning programs should be now a permanent feature of all of the universities and academia. Then I would say the implementation of ILO convention has become a crucial feature during these days. We need not to have run a separate exercise to ensure the implementation of ILO convention. All of the conventions are already part of the investment and business treaties. Governments and international organizations just have to make sure that companies should follow those ILO conventions, and employers should also keep a strict check while dealing with other companies whether they are following the ILO conventions or not.
Isidro, I think that you have provided us very, very good insight and very comprehensive. I'm afraid that we are running out of time. If you don't mind, we can questions and answers.
I'm just going to a presentation. The thirst areas that this these sectors which
you have 1 minute. Okay? Thank you so much.
Yeah. So this very important at the moment are entrepreneurship, the digitalization of our businesses, construction, transportation, green technology. We have to rebuild our communities. So I just have one message for the international organization, for large business corporation and governments, that know that you are not sitting idle. We know that you are doing something constructive to bring change in the world and to recover from the pandemic. But what we want at this moment, perhaps this is the time that you should accelerate your activities, and you should increase the magnitude of your assistance being provided to developing countries, and try to save our generation from becoming a lockdown generation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think your last message on to accelerate change and to accelerate the approach, I think it's a great one. I also like, I personally like also the reference you make to regulatory guillotine, which is sometimes underestimated. So we'll leave with that. And I think it has been a very comprehensive. Thank you to all the panelists. And I now give over back to Laurent. Thank you again for giving me the opportunity to be the moderator.
I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Why not click subscribe so you can be informed when the latest next individual podcast or podcast mini series from FE News are going to be released.